the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, and it is officially marker week. This dropping on a Friday. Behind the curtains, it was recorded on a Wednesday. So if anything super significant has happened, we do apologize. But we got to work around the schedule of the talent, and our number one talent is Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, how we doing, buddy?
That's one heck of a compliment, Ross. I appreciate it, especially on such a phenomenal week as Marker Week. No secret, I don't like these guys.
You and a lot of people.
Well, it's different when it's personal, you know. I mean, there's definitely a respect factor. You know, my dad, for those that don't know, my dad ran track at South Dakota State. I have family who have attended there for a number of different years. Have a cousin who was on their faculty recently. I think he actually just switched jobs. But yeah, the whole gamut. Grew up around there, going to the grandparents' farm in Elkton, which is nearby. And so I grew up around them, and it's a love-hate relationship. So yeah, this week is always my favorite week. I enjoy this thoroughly, and being able to dive into this is a lot of fun. So let's get it rolling.
And just so people are aware, and obviously, you know, if this isn't, you're not just getting this on your phone because you're subscribed, and folks, please subscribe. It helps us. You know, every little subscription helps. Every new episode will be automatically downloaded onto your phone. You don't have to go looking for it. We're going to have Ty Brooks today making his Bison Report content debut. We've honestly been trying to wrangle Ty for this thing or that thing for about a year now. He was going to do the BRTV series from the Green and Gold studio at my house. Last year, we just couldn't get it going. We were kind of doing position by position, so I ended up booking Chase Morlock, though those two play the running back position in two very different ways. So we're excited to get Ty on the phone and talk, because he's got some issues with these guys as well. And I think a big part of it, Trev, is just the simple fact that it's a competition. 10-6 in the marker game, NDSU's way. But, I mean, shoot, 10-6, that's easily as tough as anybody's been on the Bison in the Division I era. You talk about, you know, North Dakota State's winning percentage as a Division I program. 10-6 makes it look like South Dakota State is their worst enemy, which they are. But I mean, just to be able to go 6-10 against the Bison is a big deal for them, for sure. Now it's not 10-6 in Division I because South Dakota State has either two or three playoff losses to NDSU. You know, the Bison have never lost to South Dakota State in the playoffs, so the actual Division I record isn't quite as good as 10-6, but 10-6 in the marker game for NDSU is probably not where they'd like to be. Of course, they'd like to be 16-0, but I mean, I think they'd like to be 12-4 or something like that, where there's more of a feeling of dominance. And while it seems like the Bison have beaten SDSU in every big spot, playoffs, college game day, et cetera, et cetera, ultimately, South Dakota State has held their own. Why do you think that is?
These teams just know each other so well. Naturally, you have a tougher time beating teams in your conference. So even if you go and look at, like, if you talk about, like, even basketball, there's parallels in every sport. People say, oh, the Big Ten is going to do this, Big 12 is going to do that, et cetera, et cetera. And then you get into these one-and-done games in March Madness and you have a mid-major team that knocks off a Power Five, whatever. And it's because of matchups and the teams don't know each other as well. And crazy things can happen. Well, when you have teams that know each other so well and there's a rivalry factor to it, throw out records, throw out everything that you know, because that's just the way it is. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. So on top of that, I think you do have to give credit where credit is due. They've had some good players too. South Dakota State has had some phenomenal players go through that program over the years. And we could list all of them off here, but when you play against the same guys sometimes twice a year with the playoffs, you have that created rivalry with the marker back in 2004, I believe it was. There's just a lot of factors that go into it that make it a heightened intensity and emotionally. Plus, you get the Twitter battles about who has the best football camp in the Midwest. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. And even for me personally, like, it's just there's a lot of personal things that have occurred in my life that make it a thing that I want to and wanted to back then win even more. And it just builds on top of each other. And so when you have all those factors, competition just becomes heightened. So I think that you combine good players with just things happening, conference rivals, you're playing for a traveling trophy, and you got some good talent on top of it. Because quite frankly, there should have been two or three years where these teams should have met in Frisco. 2014 could have been one of them. It just so happened that Illinois State was on the opposite side of the bracket instead of South Dakota State. We should have, both those games could have been national championship games. And so people know that, fans know that, players know that. And it just makes it that much better. And I think it's healthy that, you know, the Bison are 10-6. They would like to be 12-4, whatever it is. But it does make it healthy that there's a little bit more balance. And we talked about that the UND week. Until UND poses a huge threat and actually beats NDSU in a significant game, it's not going to feel as much like a rivalry like this one is when you've had playoff matchups over the past decade.
And that's what's interesting about this one, because it is a conference championship game. That might be a loser leaves town game for South Dakota State. I mean, there are, I think, questions about if South Dakota State loses this game by two touchdowns, I think there are resume questions about the Rabbits. Do I think that if South Dakota State loses this game by two touchdowns, are they not one of the best 16 teams in FCS football? That's ridiculous. I think they're probably one of the best eight teams in FCS football either way.
Right.
But you would start to kind of look at what they've built, and it's not that impressive. What's their great win? You know, it's blowing out SIU at home. I mean, that's cool, but at the same time, you would have lost to NDSU, you would have lost to UND, had a couple other games canceled, and your other, I think, you know, big deal is beating Northern Iowa on the last possession and beating Youngstown State on the last possession. The other deal, I think, was blowing out WIU. The great South Dakota State win of the 2020-2021 season doesn't really exist yet. Now, it could come on Saturday, certainly. I mean, that would be, of course, a signature win. Be the first time in a long time that NDSU has lost two games in one season. Tremendous opportunity for that program. Unfortunately for South Dakota State, they built a history of not winning that game, of ultimately coming up short, as they did. And Trev, this was kind of our first game together live. I mean, we've hung out on that sideline before, but that was before we were doing any of this. Arguably the biggest moment, not arguably, the biggest moment in South Dakota State program history, because they've never been to Frisco. Maybe their win at Nebraska, but that would be about it. College game day at their house. Pat McAfee in the house. I mean, the biggest moment in program history. You lose. Fourth and one, deep in enemy territory. You need to stop the Bison. You can't. Program loses in the big spot. That is kind of their thing. Same thing with the FCS playoffs. A number of times, you know, a number of times they've had the opportunity to end NDSU's season to finally get over the hump, and they failed. So this is an opportunity for South Dakota State that they have not been able to accomplish. You know, they have not been able to get over the hump. This is another chance. And again, like I said, the history of the two teams is for South Dakota State to be in the big spot and come up short. Can they change that this weekend? That's the big question.
I would say, so yeah, you alluded to quite a bit there. And I think a lot of that comes down to coaching at the end of the day, especially in those big moments, coaching and quarterback play. And recent history, you know, post-transition years, NDSU has had a significant advantage in probably both of those. I don't know all of South Dakota State staff throughout those years, but they've had great coaches. The guy that did our scout team, my redshirt year, ended up being on their staff a handful of years later. So I know that they've had quality guys in that staff, but when you compare apples to apples, in those games, quarterback play has been tilted the Bison way very heavily. Just calling a spade, just like what I'm getting to here.
And South Dakota State's win over Kansas, not their win over Nebraska.
Okay, I was wondering, I'm like, did they really actually beat Nebraska? No way.
South Dakota State's win over Kansas, not Nebraska.
Well, everybody beats Kansas. I'm not trying to knock. I'm just saying that. So, like, and same with the coaching. Like, I've got my own opinions, and I'm gonna do everything I can to steer away from giving those opinions in depth. But NDSU, the meter tilts to the coaching staff in Fargo. This Saturday is a little bit different. Coaching, probably NDSU's way. I do have more faith in that staff when you look at it truly from an unbiased perspective than South Dakota State staff, just apples to apples. Quarterback play is a different story. So what I'm really getting at is a significant difference in this week, and I think I had just mentioned that we had a technical glitch there, but I don't know what's going to happen with quarterback play. If I'm giving a nod, it's going to nod to South Dakota State. So that will be interesting to see how that plays out. And how it affects the end outcome.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. And I'm looking up kind of some of the grading stuff from Pro Football Focus. But the best, I just want to see if their eyes match what my eyes are saying. The best quarterback on either team, now it's sample size is what it is. The best quarterback on either team, I think, is Cam Miller. The best quarterback on either team. Now, you know, whether North Dakota State uses him, I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah, they're not huge fans of Gronowski. He's fine. He certainly has a higher season-long grade than Zeb. I would actually agree with that. But Miller has a higher season-long grade on a smaller sample size than both of them. We'll see. I mean, obviously, you know, you go back to the the North Dakota matchup, and Zeb was certainly sufficient to get it done and beat the number two team in the country at home, which their charge is now to beat the number four country at home. And to discuss that charge, we are now going to try and get on the line Mr. Ty Brooks, bringing on now former North Dakota State running back and, I don't know, I would say the maybe all-time all-valley trash talk tailback. If we were putting together an all-trash talk team, Ty Brooks would be at number one. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
We're doing great. Happy birthday, by the way.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
South Dakota State.
Yeah.
You've had things to say. And now, as you've mentioned, of course, the coaching staff no longer has any say over your thoughts, your Twitter account, your public statements.
None at all. And I love it.
About the Rabbits. You're a Fargo native. Why is this game so important to you? And we can get into kind of maybe some of the more personal issues you have with the Rabbits, but just you get to North Dakota State. Like, what does this game mean to you?
I think you don't really realize what it means until you play in the game. Even as a freshman, you don't really realize what it is until the week of the game. Everybody's ramped up. Coaches are more fired up. Kramer's on everybody's behind. You know what I mean? So, and then once you play in the game, you realize why we don't like them. You know what I mean? And it's the same way with you and I. It's the same way with a lot of the teams in the Valley that we play that just don't like the Bison.
What do you think it is about South Dakota State specifically? Because they came in with NDSU to Division I. Is it because of the marker? Is it because, as Trevor and I mentioned earlier in the show, like they're 6-10 against NDSU, and 6-10 might not sound like a great record, but the Bison going 10-6 against somebody is not quite to NDSU standards. I mean, their winning percentage is way higher than that. What is it about this game that gets everybody going?
I think South Dakota just wants to be what NDSU is, to be honest. That's just being honest. I feel like they do good every year. They just can't finish. You know what I mean? And that's something we've done at NDSU and just continue to do. And it's the way we prepare. And they just don't seem to have that down there. And I don't respect them. I don't like them. It's not much good stuff I can say about South Dakota State.
Was there ever a moment in your career against the Jacks that kind of spawned this? Because you mentioned you've got an issue with the coach there. Did you get close to the sideline and say something to them and they said something to you? Or you can give us the PG-13 version, but I mean, how did this sort of come about?
Yeah, I can tell you the real story off air, but
that's fair.
every time I play, I kind of make sure to talk trash to their sideline if I'm over there. You know what I mean? And one time I feel like I got in the coach's head. He started talking back to me and I loved it. And I said some stuff about his situation that he had going on at the time. He didn't like it. Went back and forth. We ended up winning the Rock. You know what I mean? And I said some stuff after the game to him too. But that was one of the situations. But the first time when I really just didn't have any respect for him was when they twisted Bruce's ankle. Yes. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh yeah.
But after that, I just had no respect for that in my eyes. And it seemed every time we played them, stuff like that was going on. You know what I mean? If you're a player in the game and they want you out, that's the type of stuff they're going to do. And I just didn't respect that, and I don't respect that.
Ty, great to have you on the show. Definitely been wanting to talk to you for a long time, especially about South Dakota State, because obviously me being a South Dakota kid and growing up there, this game means something a little bit different to me. And then you being a Fargo kid, as Ross had mentioned earlier, what do you think culturally the two schools have in difference? I have my own opinion, but I kind of want to see what your take is as far as what you think each school values the most and why that ends up being the end results they are in the big games that they've played against each other.
I can't speak for them. I know at NDSU, we do everything one step at a time. We're not looking to the next game. We're focused on this game. You know what I mean? I don't know what they do there, but it obviously hasn't been working in the past. But I know what we do at NDSU, and it's what we do the right way, and it's follow Kramer, just buy into the program.
See, I like what's amazing as far as like a culture in our program and things that we've experienced. That answer is perfect because you're going, we focus on what we do. And it's that faceless opponent that gets beaten to our heads, you know? And but the thing that I've noticed, especially growing up in South Dakota and being around that area and paying attention to that program over the years, it seems to me that in Fargo, we focus on the team. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And there, they have a really good player and they highlight him and they focus on him.
Yeah.
And they do it, and it permeates in every sport, it's football, basketball, et cetera. So it's like, okay, I can see why things work out that way, because you're playing for something bigger than yourself versus, okay, it seems like they're playing for a guy.
Yeah, you're not going to survive at NDSU playing for yourself at all.
Oh, exactly. And so, but what I'm getting at is, what do you think that's from? Do you think the coaching staff acts that way too? Do you think the different coaching staffs are the same way? Like, do you see that in your experiences from one coaching staff and your reaction on the sidelines? I know it's small interactions, but do you see that between the two programs?
Yeah, you can definitely tell there's a difference in coaching staff. There's usually a difference in the coaching staff with whoever we're playing. You know what I mean? But I think it all starts with the coaching staff, and that's where you build your culture. You know what I mean? I mean, culture is cultivated by the players, but it starts with the coaches. And at NDSU, it starts with Kramer. You know what I mean? And then it follows down the line. So I don't know what they're doing there. It seems they usually have a lot of distractions, even with their coaches sometimes. And that'll tear a team down sometimes. You know what I mean? They focus on that more than what they're there to do.
Ty,
I love it.
I want to talk to you about last year. You lead the team in rushing. You're over 10 yards a carry. You get a snack. And the team, and I'm sure the best moment of last year was probably standing on the podium knowing that your career was over and that you got, you know, another chip. But pounding away at South Dakota State in 2019 at College Game Day in their house, that's got to be a highlight for you, does it not?
Yeah, that was a live moment. Even before the game, when we stepped out, I remember, who was I talking to? I think I was talking to Dimitri. It was either Dimitri or Keith. And I was like, it was Brillo. And I was like, it's live in here. Like, it's live in here. You could feel it was a different energy in the game. And then even getting to the game, it was smash mouth back and forth. You know what I mean? To pop the run off. And then that kind of opened the game up. But the energy was crazy that game. And that was a highlight game in my career.
Getting now, you know, obviously it's weird. It's not 12 months since South Dakota State played North Dakota State. It's like 13 months, which is like, it's weird, you know, but, you've now made your transition from being a player to being a fan or being a supporter of the program. Like I told everybody, mm-hmm. like I said, Trevor earlier, this show is going to come out on Friday, but behind the window, your birthday is Wednesday. This is we're doing this on Wednesday. So you're about 72 hours, about 74 hours from kick here. What's this like? I mean, you're not in practice. You're not with Kramer. You're not with Coach Larson. You're not actually prepping for South Dakota State. And this is your first time ever. How are you feeling about this game? I mean, you've of course had the experience of being a fan for now. I think North Dakota State is 5-1 in the spring and 6-1 overall or something like that. What's this like?
If I'm honest, it's a little tough. You know what I mean? I went to the UND game and it's tough just sitting there watching. You know what I mean? It's hard as a player when you're hurt sitting on the sideline. So when you still got that competitive nature in you, it's even harder being in the stands. That's why I made my way to the sideline about 3 times that game. Because I saw Kobe not running hard on some plays. I had to go let him know. You know what I mean? So it's kind of tough to just be a fan sometimes, but I'm happy for the guys, and I know they're preparing the right way.
All right, Ty, I want to get before we go, I want to get a score prediction out of you. So how do you see this whole thing going down on Saturday?
I think it's going to go down how it always go down. It's going to be smash mouth, wear them down, and then they're going to fold. You know what I mean? That's what they do best. So score prediction, I'm going to go 28, 14 us.
All right. 28-14 North Dakota State. Ty, thanks so much for the time. Thank you for being our call-in guinea pig. You are the first call-in guest in the history of Bison Report Radio. And
appreciate you.
We were so happy. I think, honestly, too, I think Coach would probably be happy. This was pretty PG-13. We didn't, you know, I don't think we angered anybody on staff. So I think this was.
I don't care if we did or not.
All right. Thanks, Ty.
Appreciate you, Ty.
We'll have to get that off the air story from him at another date. This is not the time or place.
Oh, I know that. I can't wait.
All right. Getting into the X's and O's of the thing. Let's start when North Dakota State has the football, because when I watch this team, it's the linebackers. Tetzloff is playing awesome. 46. He's been good. Backhouse maybe hasn't had the season that I would have expected from him, but Bach is playing really well in spots as well. They are not what they used to be up front. I'm not a huge fan of their defensive line, but the linebackers clean up a ton. And so how do you attack that? If you're North Dakota State, is that a downhill thing? Do you try and get Christian moving side to side? What do you think the best course of action against? Honestly, you know, they have been for a long time too, a mirror of North Dakota State's defense, a ton of four down, a ton of split safety, you know, very similar to facing your guys in practice.
Well, to me, number one, attack their weakness. If you want to give it a small answer for these guys specifically and what they've traditionally been good at and weak at, attack them on the seams, hit them with quick game on the seams, or like a Hank route with a tight end, which is a 5-yard sit right over the center. So you need to attack them vertically and get their hips open, because these guys are better at coming downhill and making tackles versus opening up their hips and running with very athletic tight ends such as Babby and Gindy. So I think that's where that starts. If you want to exploit the strength of the defense, is I think you go vertical and attack them with the athletes that you do have and play to your strength, because they can't run with those guys. They cannot do it. And you could be doing jet sweeps with Christian too. I think it's going to be necessary. I wouldn't go overkill. I would maybe run it twice. And if it works, run it a third time. So if you hit a home run on it, like Montana State, last or 2 years ago in the playoffs, whatever the last time we played a playoff game was, if you can hit it, run it again. But if not, don't beat it with a dead horse and just run it maybe twice to get them running laterally and then go vertical on them. I think that would be the key to making sure that you neutralize their strengths.
You mentioned quarterback play. I've said, I mean, I personally would use Cam Miller a ton in this game. I would start Cam Miller. Even if you want to use Zeb in a big way, you've gotten big wins with Zeb, you've gotten big wins with Cam. I just think after what was put on film against, you know, in your last two games, which even though they're over the course of a month, they are UNI and UND, the snap percentage, Zeb to Cam. Now, again, we think that that had to do with a little wrist injury against UND for Cam, but he had to have been full go against UNI and only got one series. So if I'm Stig, I'm looking at this thing going, oh, I'm prepping for eight all day. You know, we're going to pin our ears back, get after this prep, because when Zeb breaks the pocket, he doesn't strike fear into you. You know, so we're sending the blitz. We're sending the rush. We're not scared. We're not going to worry about, you know, when Zeb carries out his play fake, we're not worried about that. If they're running wide zone or read option, we know where that's going. Stress them. I would use seven and stress them. And even if it's 50-50, that's way different than what it has been for the last two games. So if they're going to spend all week prepping for eight, give them seven. That's what I would do.
Well, yeah. And when we've talked about it, And usually the packages that you see that when you see the split play, it's like a specific package and he comes out to start a series or maybe like a third down. I would come in and put him in on first down and get ahead of the chains because then you're allowed to open up the playbook, establish a run game even more so, and get them on their heels a little bit. And I think Cam provides that option for you. And on the same token, if he's the hot hand, ride it. We're not the coaches. There's a reason for that. But at the same time, it's like we said in the recap pod earlier this week, you have an asset. You need to use it. So put Cam out there. Get him some snaps and maybe throw a complete wrinkle into what South Dakota State's game plan has been. And that'll be interesting to see because I truly do think that this game, other than turnovers, special teams, which when you have a matchup as even as this game is going to be, this is about as equal of a matchup that I've seen over the years. I'd say in 2014, that playoff game, that was a pretty even matchup. Both teams were very much capable of winning the Natty. And we played in the first round, second round. I don't know what they call it anymore. But this matchup is very equal. It's a heavyweight title fight. And when that happens, QB play is going to be significant. Neither QB, in my opinion, Gronowski and Nolan, who the starters have been, are going to go take over a game completely. I don't think either one, that's their MO. And that's fine. That's not to say they're terrible football players. I'm just saying that neither guy you look at and go, that guy's going to take over a football game the way like Karen Christian did or the way Trey Lance did. There's different players. So when you have QB play being that significant of a factor in a game, you've got to bring in another guy who provides a different wrinkle and can make plays with his legs that South Dakota State maybe not has seen on film for a few weeks from NDSU.
And to me, South Dakota State is almost a mirror image to North Dakota. And I think that's what you've seen from, you know, their success and lack of success this season. They are way ahead. And I think it could be argued, though I would say that it's more of a quarterback thing with North Dakota State, because I think NDSU is really talented on the offensive line and in the skill position area. South Dakota State isn't. Their defense is way ahead of their offense at this point. Cade Johnson's not walking through that door. Winicky's not walking through that door. Goddard's not walking through that door. You know, they've got the Janky brothers at wide receiver. Canyon Bauer is fine, but not great. Hines isn't very good, the tight end. I mean, he doesn't strike fear into anybody. Neither does Blake Coons. I mean, they're Gronowski's fine, you know. He's been fine, but he's not great either. He doesn't turn the ball over maybe at the level that Zeb has, but they're just fine. Their offense most of the time in a tight game, as you saw against UNI, will just do enough to win, or against UND, where they won't do enough to win. And so that's, I think, the number one thing in this game too. And part of the reason I'd run out there with Cam, if you get up 10-0 or 14-0, this game is OVER. This is South Dakota State team is not built to come from behind. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I'd be really surprised if they got up two scores early, but this is just not, even without Josh Hayes, this is just not a South Dakota State team that is ready to come and punch with you, being down in a big way. Their offensive line is mostly fine. You know, they're all right, certainly, pass blocking, but Pierre Strong isn't. He really struggles picking up the blitz. As you know, some like feature tailbacks do. You've mentioned you don't know if John Crockett ever learned how to pick up the blitz. This is not a team with the outside weapons in the Janky brothers, Hines and Canyon Bauer to come back. And Gronowski isn't ready to lead a comeback. So throwing the first punch is going to be huge for North Dakota State, or they're just going to get into a slugfest. And I think they're fine with that. I think they feel, and I think it's accurate, that their defensive line is a lot better than South Dakota State's offensive line, which leads to tackling. And that was one of the things that I mentioned in the pre-production meeting as a huge key in this game. Tackling, they have to be able to get Pierre Strong on the ground. They have to be able to get Jordan Meacham on the ground. Second and eight, you love. Second and four, not so much. Second and four brings a lot of other, you know, stuff into play. And so I just don't see South Dakota State's passing game as a huge threat. Ants has mentioned all week that Pierre Strong Jr. is the best running back in the country. This is going to be a test for NDSU's smaller linebackers. And I would like to find a way to just, whether it's pulling Hankey, which, yeah, I don't know. I mean, in a slugfest, you kind of want Jackson Hankey out there. I would like to find snaps for Wirtz because he's been awesome. And I don't know if that's pulling Cox or pulling Kaser on early downs or obvious run situations. They've kind of been using Mason Hofstad in that role. I would like to see 47 get some snaps. I think this is going to be an absolute slugfest.
Well, that's going to be important, is keeping fresh legs at that second level, because it's no secret you're going to get a heavy dose of Pierre Strong in this game. He's an extremely talented player. And traditionally, the games that NDSU has lost in the past decade have been because of a running back who has taken over a game and put the team on his back, basically beat NDSU at their own game. Those losses that have occurred have been because of that. And I would say maybe there's one exception to that, and that was 2017. Dakota Marker game when NDSU just turned the ball over left and right. They had, I think, three picks. I know Shep had a fumble within there too. But you go back to Indiana State 2012, James Madison 2016, even South Dakota State. Was that 2016 they won in the Dome?
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah, because 2017 was in Brookings. Taryn Christian went off. So it wasn't a running back that night,
yeah.
But you had a guy who won the game with his legs. And that's what makes this game interesting, because you have a running back in Pierre Strong who is more than capable of doing that, of winning this football game on his back.
And that's so like you,
go that's ahead.
Something too, Trev, that, and yeah, 17-19, Jake Winicky pushes off in the end zone.
Well, right, yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things.
No, I get what you're saying. And obviously 2016, North Dakota State wins 36-10 in the quarters over the same South Dakota State team. Absolutely, you know, just wrecks them. Ultimately then loses the next week to James Madison. Bunch of injuries. Everybody knows how that went. That is scary or interesting, however you want to put it. South Dakota State has treated this game like their Super Bowl for the entire existence of their Division I program. And you've seen a fumble Ruski. Taryn Christian didn't run the ball at all for 5 weeks. And then all of a sudden, their entire offense was built around running him with a lead blocker in front of him. Now you have a South Dakota State team that has had a month to prepare for this game, literally a month to prepare for this game. Everything, as you heard Ty mention, they want to be what's going on in Fargo. They probably care more about beating the Bison than anything outside of winning a national championship. And this is their opportunity to break NDSU's streak of Valley championships, because there won't be a co-situation if NDSU loses. To win in Fargo, win the Valley, and jump NDSU in the seeding process, meaning that the Bison have to probably come through Brookings. I'm not joking when I say it would be the biggest accomplishment in the history of their football program, because it would. That's what's on the line for them on Saturday, and that is something to watch, is the BS, the oop-de-oop, if you will, from Varsity Blues fame.
You're going to see it.
You're going to see some unscouted looks, I promise you, from South Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, do they do Pierre Strong in a Wildcat like they did Zach Zinner in 2014? They did a heavy dose of that in the playoffs. So I'll be curious. And I just, you know, I think what it's going to come down to, like I said, is QB play. If neither quarterback turns the ball over or plays terrible, that'll be neutral. And then what it'll come down to there is a classic Valley matchup, the run game. Hunter Luepke versus Pierre Strong. Who wins? So rotating the linebackers, getting downhill, making tackles, and getting off the field on third and medium and third and short. That is what you will see as it plays out as a significant factor of what the end result will be in terms of who wins and who loses.
And that's a huge advantage for North Dakota State too, is Pierre Strong is Pierre Strong is Pierre Strong is Pierre Strong. That's it. I mentioned their backup tailback, whose name I have since forgotten. He's not getting a ton of carries. At least Luepke has Ganella and Bussey for sure, has the threat of the jet sweep game. And he can carry it 28 times, I'm sure. But there's a chance he only has to carry it 22 for them to win, or 18 or 19 for them to win. Pierre Strong's going to have to carry this ball 30 times for South Dakota State to win, probably. So the fact that Bussey and Ganella can help, and Christian Watson can help, and Rajah Nelson can help is a big deal. I don't think they'll have Kobe Johnson back. Matt basically said as much in his press conferences this week. But that's going to be a big, big deal. All right, we have reached the end of the show here, Trev, and we need your prediction. How is this going to go for the green and gold on Saturday?
So I think what you'll see in the first half is a lot of feeling out. I think you're going to see from both coaching staffs a lot of different looks to see how they line up. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, maybe Pierre Strong in a wildcat. Maybe NDSU throws in a wrinkle themselves. Maybe putting Christian Watson in a wildcat. Who knows? There's a lot on the line in this game. I think you're going to see at least a wrinkle or two. And the coaches just want to see what the looks they get and how much that's going to open up the playbook for that particular package. So I think you're going to go into the halftime with a score of, you know, 10-7, 14-10, you know, a couple scores by each team. And what capacity, I don't know. But it'll be a tight matchup, and it'll be really close. Where I think the difference is going to be is NDSU, they just have a little bit more depth. They have a little bit more run options, and they have more packages that they can be successful in long term for the end of the game. So I think what you're going to see is NDSU pull away in the fourth quarter by a score and win 24-18.
I'm with Trev. I think there's, oddly enough, I actually do think there's a chance that North Dakota State blows them out, but I'm not going to pick that. Because I get crazy UND vibes from this SDSU team, and we all saw how that happened, or what happened in that scenario. I think the dome's going to be cranked up. I think people are going to be, you know, ornery. That 1.5-point line is disrespectful. To look at these two teams' resumes, what they've put on the field, and to look at the history between these two teams, and to say that NDSU isn't at least a push, which would mean they're 3-point favorites at home, is disrespectful, and it should be taken as such. I've got 23-17 Bison. I don't see how the defense lets this South Dakota State offense into the 20s. And ultimately, if they can hold on to the football, I do think NDSU can grind South Dakota State down. And I think one of the touchdowns that leads to South Dakota State getting to 17 is gimmicky. I'm gonna even go that far to predict that. But I've got 23-17 Bison. Missouri Valley Football Conference champs, and I think, and I hope, rightfully the number one overall seed in the playoffs. I am not impressed with what James Madison has done, or more accurately, not done, to earn this supposed number one national ranking. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We hope you are ready for this Dakota Marker game. Have a phenomenal weekend, everyone, and go Bison.